Bebo, 88.7 FM. This is Kunle Amzat Studio, Akidibo, 88.7 FM. Welcome to National Discourse.
Beautiful Friday morning to you, wherever you're listening to us from. The station is Agidigbo 88.7 FM. The name is Zainab Sani. I say one welcome to you as you join me on National Discourse this morning. That's a program where we get to interview reputable Nigerians with varying thoughts about the entity called Nigeria, all with one goal in mind. How can we make this country better? How can we move from point A to point B in the quest for the development of the country? As is the practice every week, I'll have a guest with me, and my guest today is someone who calls himself a revered Yoruba ambassador. Yes, he's one person that has founded many groups, many cultural, socio-political, socio-cultural Yoruba groups, all with one objective: to advance Yoruba culture, to be at the forefront of those, ensuring that the culture does not go extinct. He's also the Ashiwaju of Texas, and he's Ashiwaju Olumayunwe, visionary free thinker and a humanist, and the founder of Yoruba of Austin, Texas, Egbe Omo Yoruba, USA and Canada, founder of Ijebu Descendant Association, Austin, Texas, founding chairman of the Funked African Overseas Union and African American Caribbean Investment Corporation, a respected Yoruba chieftain under Alaafin of Oyo. Ashiwaju Olumayunwe is currently the chairman of Ori Roots and Kenny and May Limited, Karo Ojiri Omo Odua Foundation, and Yoruba Self Preservation Group. Join me to welcome to National Discourse this morning, Ashiwaju Olumayunwe. Enjoy the conversation I had with him. Welcome to National Discourse, Ashiwaju Olumayunwe. It's quite a delight to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
I would like to start off from some of the things that I read in your profile, or one of the things, rather, that I touched during while reading your profile, which is the Yoruba Self-Preservation Group, right?
Yes.
You are one of the founding members of this group. And, you know, even before coming on air, we've spoken a lot about this group, and I would like to know, for starters, what were the experiences you experienced as a member of the Yoruba race, your experience as a Nigerian, that's led to the need to form that group or create that group?
Talking about experience, sometimes, you know, when you talk about experience is something money cannot buy. And it comes to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I understand so much the political issues in this country, and the concern of we, the Yorubas, because we are now in a precarious situation. Our roofs are on fire. Who is causing this fire? It's not something I want to discuss today. How to quench the fire, how to care for ourselves, how to change hopeless change to positive change is what we are here to discuss. That's what Yoruba Self-Preservation stands for. What can you do to care for yourself? What can I do to care for you? How can we be our brother's keepers at this perilous time? That is what I'm concerned about and would like to be discussing. I am just like a servant to my race. We are bleeding, and we need to make sure we stop the blood that is going around. We need to bring organic the grip. Let's make sure that this madness is not universal anymore. We have to fend for ourselves, because Yorubas have been known from the ethos of their culture that they serve others first before they even serve themselves. While they serve others, and others are not ready to be served, they are ready to make life difficult for them. What do you expect? What will you do if we
brought Nigeria together as a country, the western region, the eastern region, and then the northern region, right? We have existed this long. I mean, Nigeria is over 50 years now, and we have existed this long, and despite the challenges, I've struggled to stay together as one entity. We are diverse people, yes, but if we have done it this long, then perhaps there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's the fact that maybe it's just a leadership problem. If we have better leaders, we do not necessarily have to come from one ethnic group, then perhaps things will be better for us as a country.
You are putting me in a spot here.
How do you mean?
I am a revered Yoruba culturist, and I believe fervently in the work of Almighty Creator. When a people wants to destroy the work of Almighty Creator, a people that has the richest culture in the history of hemisphere, a people that civilized the world and colonized the earth, and then they want to renegade them to nobody, then I have a serious passion as a visionary free thinker. So you can't be raping my children. You can't be doing havoc, horrendous things to me and my people and my family, and expect me to still say we should be the same family, we should be living under the same roof. Hell no, sorry, excuse that language of mine. I spent 40 years of my adult life in America. I know what civility is. Where there is no civility, then we must go back to the history of we, the Yorubas, and then put the ethos into work. Unite ourselves. Forget about all the cynicism surrounding us, picking up bones, innuendos, and then come together as the children of the same father, children of the same mother, civilized people, people with history, people with culture, people with name. For instance, look at VAT, value added tax. How on earth could we be sweating, and then the sweat of our labor will go somewhere else, and that money will also be used to purchase weapons to destroy us, weapon of mass destruction. It is unheard of. It is not good. What is good is what we are trying to do now.
You mentioned VAT. You mentioned a lot of things, and what I hear on some level is the need for some sort of I'm trying very hard not to use the word restructuring, but there's a need to rejig the Nigerian entity. That's what I hear you say. I have this conversation with Dari Babarisa a week ago on the same program, right? I don't know if you know Dari Babarisa. He's an acclaimed journalist, used to be very close to Delegiwa, and they worked together for a while. But I had that conversation with him, and he brought it to him to say that more often than not, it appears that the states in question are to blame, not the federal structure. Drawing me back to the years when the Western region was fully in charge of things like roads, railways, schooling, university, you know, when the state was decentralized. But now what we have is the state running cap in hand to the federal to go and beg for money, to go and beg for allocations. I wouldn't readily use the word beg, but they go there, you know, they depend on the federal government to survive. And he spoke about how it is the fact that we now have too many states as against a region. Wouldn't you toe that line of thought?
Let me tell you something. When you don't have guns and you have brains, and some people come and introduce the system of what the Europeans brought to us, the people that came with treasonable felony, now they took us as felons. when somebody hijacked the democracy, the system that was established by my forefathers, they said, tradition. What is tradition? The doctrine of law established by my forefathers, hallowed by the way of men. No matter how much is hallowed by the way of men, the work of creators can never be erased. We had the system of Oya Empire, Yomisi, before the white anthropologists came to learn from Yoruba ancestors, the one that they are now calling illiterate, that they are not civilized. The same thing, some people woke up overnight, hijacked the system of democracy, called themselves military, ruling by power of gun, and they came out with falsified constitution and imposed it on civilized people. What would you expect? I can't blame anybody, any state governor. Zainab, that's why I said, don't get me going. That's why I don't want to go into this.
We need to take a look at these things, because it's only when we understand the problems that we can now talk about extensively about the solutions, right? Let's take a detour to the fact that one of the first things that caught my attention when I heard about what YSP is doing was the mention that you are the Ashiwaju of Texas, Austin, right?
Yes, I was made Ashiwaju Omo Yoruba of Houston, Texas, and a representative of Alaafin during those years.
When and you say those years, what do you mean?
You're talking about early 90s, the Abacha regime, when we founded the Egbe Omo Yoruba, US and Canada, from Concerned Yoruba of Houston. A few of us started this, and then it metamorphosized into a larger organization called Egbe Omo Yoruba, US and Canada. And since then, we've been moving on and on. NADECO and Egbe Omo Yoruba, US and Canada, we were moving on, and went, a lot of them escaped to Houston, Texas. We hosted them, we accepted them, because we know we are of the same kin. We are Uduans, and nobody must suffer. And that is why we see how Yoruba self-determination, Yoruba self-preservation today. Some people are doing determination, some people are handling the security aspect. Every one of us cannot be on the same direction. We want to save Yoruba humanity. We want to put charity at work. We want to wake up our people that without preservation, no determination. What are you determining when there is no preservation? A culture that has been destroyed, how could you rule that culture? If anybody should knock at this door now, we will answer. But if some people come and kill us, and somebody comes back again and knock at this door, who will answer? Who will you answer to? Empty room? This is why I said it's of high necessity that we talk to our people, we educate ourselves, we stop innuendo, abusing each other, picking bones with each other. This is not the time. Our roof is on fire. How do we kill this fire? When the security outfit, when they get killed, the fathers no more, the sons no more fathers, no more mothers, because they are protecting us. Who comes to the aid of these people? We determine tomorrow from what happened yesterday, and we use today to decide what to do tomorrow. We must preserve our farmland. We must preserve our people. We must pick our orphan children, put them back into school. In the early ways of Yoruba ancestors, we were never a useless people. We must always be in the forefront of everything.
I don't know if you're a Christian, but I know a little bit of the Bible, and I know that there's this part where Jesus was lost. Sorry, we need to just go into that a little. When the disciples asked Jesus, who is your neighbor? Right? The description Jesus gave was of that of a Jewish man who was wounded. He was somebody from his faith was passing. That one saw him and left him to die. Someone from his tribe was also passing. That one saw him also and left him to die, until this man, who would have been considered a sinner ordinarily, passed by and saw him and stopped to help this man who was wounded. And Jesus now told the disciples that anybody who helps his fellow man, or anyone who renders help to you, is your neighbor. You know, so should we have to be of the same tribe before we begin to talk about helping each other and developing the country or developing whatever state we find ourselves?
Zainab, let me correct something. We are no tribes. That's a derogative word by the white race to renegade us to nobody. We are ethnic, no tribe. Please, I've told the Nigerian government to even remove that. When I go to police station, they say, "Which tribe are you from?" I don't sign the such paper. I erase it and put ethnic. That is that. I'm neither a Christian nor a Muslim because these things are foreign to me. I believe in my root. I believe in my structure, culture, tradition, heritage, such as the people of Israel have their culture, history, heritage, and names. The Arab people have their culture, history, and names. God created this life to be like that. God created Yoruba people with their tongue, which is Yoruba language, with their cultural spirituality, which is pureness of the heart, and then the Israelis with their history. I can't imagine myself praying and saying, God will help the gate of Israel to come and help me. What about the gate of Mayube? Who created that? Jesus is to the Israelites, and history of the Israelites are for Israelites. I knew so much about Israelites. What happened to the Canaanites is about to happen to us. The Creator created us. He gave us our language. He gave us our spirituality, not religion. Because Yoruba, in its history and religion, has never practiced fundamentalism. We have our own ideology. The time that we swayed from our ideology, we turned our back to our language. We turned our back to our cultural spirituality. We became source of river that dried up. We begin to point to our forefathers' house with left finger, and we now became a renegade because we have nothing to go into and revert to in our history. Imagine a professor of Yoruba. I went to the house. The children cannot even say Ekarosa. They were speaking English.
What I hear you say is that there's a loss of identity.
Yes. We have lost it all, and that's why we are the most renegated people on the face of the earth. Look at the Chinese, they are second world power. Look at America, first world power. They never sway from their culture, tradition, heritage. If you have PhD, you go to America today. You want to be a citizen. You must have knowledge of their history, their politics, their literature. Name it. That is indoctrination into their ideology, which is their identity. We are the people without identity. You see a Yoruba son or girl. What's your name? I'm Mohammed. What's your name? I'm David and Solomon.
You're speaking to me. My name is Zainab.
Yeah.
I'm not Yoruba, actually, but even then, you're still speaking to me because the name is Zainab. It's not my tribe's name.
When a preacher preaches in church or mosque, or in Ifa temple, sometimes you want to fight him when he begins to preach because you might have done something that speech will affect you.
And you'll be feeling guilty.
Yes. I'm not against anyone that is Christian or Muslim, but we need reorientation. When somebody names the house, you look into your root to give it a name. The same thing Chinese will do, American will do, the British people will do. If you hear Mr. Ford, definitely you know who Mr. Ford is. He's from Britain. If you hear Mr. Rice, Mr. Bush, you know this is an American. Then when you see a Yoruba man, say, "My name is David Solomon. My name is Aminat Zahib." Then, personally, I just look at that person and I said, this is a lost person.
Okay.
When you see people bragging, eulogizing their degrees that came from white man's curriculum alone and condemn others who do not have degree from that curriculum, I see problem. I have degrees. To me, I see them as useless if I cannot go into my root, into the foundings of my forefathers, and use what I learned from the West to now build my own race and my own people. Something is wrong with me. It means I'm an uneducated idiot. If I should be carrying white man's curriculum. We have invention of arithmetic through IU game. We've never mentioned the inventors of IU game and proved them to be inventors of arithmetic. The invention of money came from Ijebu. And where your white people came, they took it back. They turned it to paper money. We don't talk about that. Everything that is being invented by our ancestors, we believe white people invented it because we absconded from our root. We say vernacular speaking is prohibited. A PhD, a professor, you go into his house, they say vernacular is prohibited. Is that not a sign of illiteracy? What is the meaning of vernacular? That means you are saying that a dear, I want to a de rada rada, tati tati. A whole professor.
I can see how passionate you are about this, so I know that we can go on when it comes to this particular conversation we are having, right? But unfortunately, we do have to conclude this conversation. And as we bring it to a close, I would like you to give your parting shots on one hand. Then on the other hand, I know that pre-2015, you were sort of politically active, even to the point of campaigning for the current president of the country and voting at that time. What's changed for you as you give your parting shots to people listening right now?
When you have hope, and hope becomes hopeless, and you are not looking for anything intrinsic value from that person becoming the president, then when that hope is shattered for your people, you become belligerent. You want to fight that person. You want to condemn that person. That is what I did. I threw in everything. I was threatened. My life was threatened from the U.S. But I believe hope was coming. Then hope became hopelessness. And then I stood aloof of that. Because I wasn't doing it to get contract. I wasn't doing it to become NSA boss with my training and experience from over there. I was doing it for a sustainable change. That everybody will make it. Nobody will be calling me from Nigeria and say, please send money to me. I'm suffering. That's why I did that. But unfortunately, something has crept in. And then I stood aloof of it. I would never be hungry in my life. It would be impossible. But instead of me to eat three times in a day now, I'm eating once or twice. Because I must give to my people. A person acquires a lot and refuses to help his neighbor is not fit to live. A lot of us, we are not fit to live because we don't know how to give. So we have to bring hope to our own selves.
I think we should leave it at that because those are very insightful words. Anybody listening now would go home with the fact that we have to be the ones to bring hope to ourselves because we usually ask, they'll say, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What are you doing in your own little corner to make the country a better place? I guess that's what Asiwaju Olumayinpe is preaching this morning. It's been quite a delight having you on National Discourse today to talk about the Yoruba Self-Preservation Group and also your own experiences as a Nigerian. Thank you so much, Asiwaju Olumayinpe, for being a guest on National Discourse.
Thank you.
You know, I mentioned it at the beginning of the program that he's a man deeply rooted in culture, and from our conversation you can tell that this is someone who is deeply educated in the Yoruba culture. Thank you once again, Asiwaju Olumayinpe, for being a guest on National Discourse this week. The program returns next week. In the meantime, I'll say keep listening to our Gidigbo 88.7 FM, and every time you think about Nigeria, think about the solutions that can make the country a better place to live in. The name is Zainab Sani.
Akidibo 88.7 FM.
I have decided, concluded, to always listen to Akidibo 88.7 FM, the people's voice.